I'm your neighbor's dog. I'm guarding his awesome man cave. When you let yourself in, you love his awesome man cave. You don't have an awesome man cave. He also has a signed life-size Michael Jordan cutout. You always wanted a signed life-size Michael Jordan cutout. Just when you think you can get away with this, you find out I'm not just a pet. I'm on duty. Don't let this happen to you. Be better protected from deadly, like me.
Sin is everywhere. Are you in good hands?
I mean, have you ever seen an invention before and went, I should have thought of that? Have you ever had one of those thoughts? I could have thought of that. Well, you know, there's inventions I know I could have thought of, like this one right here. I could have thought of this one, all right? The hands-free cell phone. I should have thought of that one. Well, I've got a couple other I should have thought of inventions, and here's the next one. Yeah, these are hairy leg stockings, all right? Ladies, you can put these on, go to the beach, and guarantee that no one will bother you all day long, right? I should have thought of those. I love this next one. Check this one out. Multitasking at its best. The little guy's going to be down there crawling around. Might as well let him earn his keep, right? And he doesn't know the difference he's having. I should have thought of that. Here's one last one here. And maybe you've had this happen before. Maybe you went to work and you put your sandwich there in the refrigerator and someone ate it. I should have thought of this because these are bags that come with this spot already on it. You put your lunch in there, you put it in there, and no one will touch your lunch ever again. I should have thought of that, right? I mean, this envy thing is something that we all struggle with. We just do. And here's the definition of envy I want to work with. We're sad over someone else's success, and we're happy over their failure. And if we're all honest with one another in this room, we all struggle with this. We are all envious. I'm envious of other people. Sometimes, you know, you're envious that someone gets more credit than you get, or someone has a bigger, nicer house, or more stuff. I mean, I'm a pastor. I mean, I'm envious sometimes. I go to other churches, and I see their buildings, and I see what they're doing. I see that they only have one Easter service. I'm like, man, I'm envious of those things, you know? And so it's easy to be envious. And here's the deal. Envy is deadly. Envy is deadly. It just is. And we've been talking about these seven deadlies. We really have. And remember, in the Bible, there is not one spot where these are all contained. A group of theologians got together in the Middle Ages and asked the question, what is most deadly to our relationship with God? And came up with this list. And let me just cover this one more time, okay? There's no such thing as a minor sin, as a small sin. All sin is sin. All sin separates us from God. In fact, James says, if you break any part of the law, you break the entire law. And the visual is this, that you're holding on to a chain, and it doesn't matter which link breaks, you're hosed either way, right? If any of them break, you're going down. And so that's why we need the cross. That's why we need Jesus. That's why grace is so amazing. And so here's the truth about these deadly sins, all right? Just because you commit one of these deadly sins, it doesn't put you kind of on the fast track to hell. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, what we've talked about during the series is these things put a wedge between you and God and may make your life a living hell. And I tell you, envy is a great example of this. In fact, I love what Solomon said. Listen to what Solomon said. A satisfied heart will give life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Boy, isn't that so true? Isn't that so true in our lives? And here's the deal with envy, you know. You look at all the other deadly sins, at least they start out a little bit fun, right? I mean, if you commit those, you go, hey, it starts out a little bit fun. But envy, from the very beginning, is no fun at all. And what color do we say people are if they're envious? They are green with envy, right? They're green. I mean, is being green ever a good thing? I mean, maybe St. Patrick's Day, yes. But besides that, all right, green is never a good thing. It's sick. It's ugly. It is not good. But we live in this world that is just, we're surrounded by envy. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, it's envy, envy, envy. Have you noticed on TV how many shows are dedicated to envy? How many magazines and how many websites are dedicated to envy? We're going to show you people that you want to be like. So they show us the Kardashians, right? Because evidently we want to be like the Kardashians. And then TMZ comes on and tells us all about their life and what's going on behind the scenes. And we just eat this stuff up. Why? Because we're envious. Because we're envious. I mean, we wish we were like certain people, and then we find out that these people have bad things going on in their life, and then we say, well, I'm glad I'm not them, right? And that is just so messed up. But that's what envy does. Envy is deadly. Envy is dangerous. And envy gets deep down inside of us and drives a huge wedge between us and God. And I was thinking about it this week. I was trying to think of the picture, the image of envy that I want to give you today. I mean, we're thinking about how envy is green, that your face is green with envy. And so I think this guy probably is the poster child of envy, right here. Isn't he? I mean, think about it. Dr. Seuss wrote this story about a guy who was envious. He stood up on this hill and he looked down over this entire town and he envied what they had. I mean, this is what we're talking about today. I mean, this is the picture of what we're discussing. When you look at the New Testament, the Greek word for envy literally means to have an evil eye. To have an evil eye. And so I was thinking about this week, okay, how do I want to teach this? How do I want to put this together? How do I want to combine this evil eye and being green with envy and having a face of envy? How do I want to teach this? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what's wrong with envy, why envy is deadly, and how we can fix it. So let's start out by talking about the three ugly faces of envy. And here's the first ugly face. It's this. Envy damages our self-esteem. Envy damages our self-esteem. Psychology Today did this massive survey. And here's what they found out. They found that envy is rooted in low self-esteem. Envy is rooted in low self-esteem. And the lower the self-esteem, the more envy you had in your life. And so what they said, the problem is with envy is that you keep breeding and breeding and breeding more of it, and your self-esteem continues to drop lower and lower and lower. You see, that's why it's so deadly, because the self-esteem issue, it just keeps breeding, it keeps multiplying, where you look at yourself, you compare yourself with other people, and you realize you're never going to be that good. And so how do they know this? You might be asking, well, how do they figure that out? Well, they came up with this thing, this idea called transitional praise. Transitional praise. Now, you know what a transitional phrase is. A transitional phrase is when you use the word but, all right? Transitional praise is when you start out saying something nice about somebody, but then you use but, and then you say something not so nice about them. Maybe this, ladies, maybe you've done this before. Man, she has great hair, but can you believe her nails, all right? Or maybe, guys, you said this, man, he is a great, successful businessman, but he has no integrity. Or she's a great mom, but her house is a pigsty. You know, we have said that before, haven't we? I mean, you start out wanting to compliment somebody and say good things about them, but then you want to make sure they're not above you. So you throw that but in there. And you want to keep them below you, so you put that but in there to keep them down. And we all do this, don't we? I mean, I'm guilty of this. You've done this. We've all done this. And so here's my challenge this week. When you're out and about and you're talking to people and you're describing people, catch yourself. And if you call them a butt, don't call them a butt, all right? Don't use butt, all right? If you do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, why am I saying this? Well, why can't I just say something nice and leave it at that? I mean, why can't I just say she has great hair or she's a great mom or he is a good business person or whatever it is? Can I not just say that? Why do I have to put them down? Why do I have to make myself better than them? Am I envious of them? You see, that's the first deadly face that we have to be careful of. That's the first one. Here's the second one. And the second one is important here, and it's this. Envy breeds discontentment. Envy breeds discontentment. I don't know if you remember Aesop's Fables. When I was a kid, I used to do these in school, and my favorite one was the story about the dog and his bone. Maybe you remember this one? The dog has this bone. He's kind of running around, having a good time with his bone. He comes up to the edge of the water, edge of a lake, and he looks in the lake, and he sees this other dog with a bone that looks better than his. And it's just his reflection. But he sees that bone. That bone's bigger than my bone. I like that bone. It looks a scrumptious bone. And so what does he do? He drops his bone, and he ends up with nothing. Absolutely nothing, because he was trying to get something that looked better than his when it was already his in the first place. And you see, that's what envy does. We end up wrecking our lives, not enjoying our lives, not enjoying the things we have. Why? Well, because we're discontent. We're discontent. Listen to what Paul said, and I love these words. Paul says, I have learned to be content in all situations. I know some of you are thinking, well, good for you, Paul. I'm glad you can do that, right? That's what you're thinking. But remember, Paul didn't write this sitting next to a pool, you know, sipping Mai Tais. He wrote this in prison, okay? I mean, this is a guy, and I know he used to have a glamorous life. He used to have a great life, but now this is his life. Shipwrecked, beaten, and thrown in prison. And what does he say? I'm good. I'm good with it all. I mean, here's the definition of content. It means I'm okay with what I've got and where I'm at, no matter what. Rich, poor, free, in jail. I'm good. You see, discontentment and envy are at the center of a whole mess of problems in our lives. It reminds me of one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of the prodigal son. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 15 of this young, discontent son. And he says, I got to have more. I want my inheritance. He goes to his dad, says, Dad, give me my inheritance. He takes inheritance. He goes to the big city, and he blows it on partying. And he's left destitute. His friends leave him. He's left really with one decision. Go home. Go home. That's all he can do is go home and beg for forgiveness, beg that his dad will allow him to just be a servant and to serve him. And so the young man goes home. He comes to his dad and says, Dad, I'm sorry. I'll be your servant. But the dad says, no, you won't. You are my son. I'm so glad you're home. I've been waiting for you. I'm so happy you're here. You're not going to be my servant. You're my son. Let's throw a party. I mean, this is a great image, a great picture of how God looks at the prodigals. And that's why I believe God loves churches who think outside of their walls. Because right before here, right before the scripture here, the Bible says that heaven celebrates more for one lost soul that comes home than 99 who don't need to repent. And so when Jesus tells this story, he's not talking about the younger son. Jesus tells a story for the older brother. That's who the story is told to. So if you're a prodigal, I'm glad you're here. But the story really isn't about you. It's about the older brother. It's about the Pharisees who are whining and complaining. Oh, Jesus, you're spending all your time with those sinners. Why don't you spend time with us, the religious people? And that's why Jesus told the story. It was for the older brother, the Pharisees, the church people, the people who were already in the house, the people who already had a relationship with the Father, the people who should have been celebrating that the younger brother was home, but he wasn't. What was he doing? He was mad. He was angry. The dad was spending so much time with his son who left and came back. And this is such a picture of the church. I mean, why do we have to change service times? I mean, why do we have to add services on Easter? Why is Jason asking that we leave our service and go to another service? Why? Because it's not about you. That's why. It's about those outside of these walls that do not yet know Jesus, who haven't yet come home to meet the Father. And I tell you, as a church, we do a good job with this, but there are a lot of churches who unfortunately don't. A lot of churches who it's all about them, it's all about their wants and their needs, and they're selfish. And what does that breed? It breeds discontentment. That's what it breeds. I mean, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You see, if your neighbor's grass is greener, that just means they've got to mow it more, all right? So quit worrying about it. Just be happy you're alive on this side of the dirt, and you can see it with your own eyes. Well, here's another face that we have to be careful of. Envy is a denial of the goodness of God. Envy is a denial of the goodness of God. Do your kids ever come to you and go, it's not fair? I mean, just my house? I mean, come on. I mean, your kids ever do that? You know, when your kids are coming to you and you're going, it's not fair, you're like, you know what? Life ain't fair. Get used to it, right? You know, but the reality, when kids come to us and they're saying, you know what? It's not fair. What they're saying is, Mom, Dad, you didn't do a very good job. I don't think you did good enough. And so kids, if you're in here, I want you to listen to this, okay? When you go to your mom and dad and you say, it's not fair, what you're basically saying to them is you didn't do good by me. Jesus tells a really powerful lesson in Matthew chapter 20, a parable about this vineyard owner. This vineyard owner who's wealthy, and he goes to hire some people to work in his vineyard for a day. And he goes out early in the morning, he finds a few workers and says, if you'll work in my vineyard, I'll pay you a denarius. And these workers are like, great, I need the job, I need the money, I'm happy to do that. And so they get busy and go to work. Well, the vineyard owner goes out at 9 o'clock, hires a few more workers. He goes out again at noon, hires a few more workers. Again at 3 o'clock. And then once again at 5 o'clock and hires more workers. And then at the end of the day, he calls them all in together to pay them. And he starts with the people who have been there the least amount of time. He starts in reverse order, and he starts to pay them first. And so he calls the person who's been there about an hour, and he comes up and he hands them a denarius. Now the rest of the workers who've been there all day see that, and they're like, whoa, that must mean we're going to get paid more. He pays everybody the same thing, a denarius. And this is a great image for the kingdom of God. And you see, the problem happens when these workers get up to get paid. They come to this wealthy vineyard owner, and they said, it's not fair. And listen to what the vineyard owner says to them. He says this, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? I mean, Jesus is basically saying God can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, sometimes God just blesses people, doesn't he? It doesn't make any sense. We don't know why God blesses people. So deal with it. Just deal with it. You see, the reality is you're not in charge, okay? And one day if God decides, hey, you can be in charge, then you can change it. But until then, remember, your name is I Am Not. And his name is I Am. And so if the vineyard owner wants to give your neighbor a boat and you don't have a boat, don't worry about it. It's up to the vineyard owner. And if the vineyard owner wants to make your neighbor's business more prosperous than yours, don't worry about it. It's up to the vineyard owner. Understand that. This is so important. This is so crucial. We don't need to worry about those things. And here's the deal. It brings about envy in our life, and we have to be careful. And we've talked about this the past couple weeks. It's the difference between the symptom and the sickness. I mean, what's the symptom? It's envy. What's the sickness? You don't believe God has done right by you. You don't believe God has done enough for you. You see, basically what envy is this. Basically, when you're envious, you're coming to God like a kid, and you're going, it's not fair, God. You haven't done right by me. And so how do we deal with this? How do we make sure envy is not deadly in our lives? Well, here's what I want to give you. I want to give you a couple facelifts for envy, okay? A couple envy facelifts here. But before I do that, let me tell you a story. This lady hired a portrait painter to paint her portrait. And so she sat there in her pretty gown all day long with her hair all done in the living room. And she was sitting there and she was being painted. And it got towards the end of the day and she said to the painter, would you mind doing me a favor? Would you paint a diamond necklace around my neck? And the painter was like, I'd be happy to do that. In fact, you want to take a time out and go get the necklace, put it on, and come back so I can paint it. And she says, oh, no, I don't own a diamond necklace. Well, the guy was a little confused by that and said, well, ma'am, then why do you want me to paint a diamond necklace around your neck? She said, well, I'm terminally ill, and I'm probably going to die here not too long from now. And my husband is young, and he's probably going to remarry some little young thing. And so I want her to spend the rest of her years being married to my husband, looking through this house for this diamond necklace. That's got nothing to do with anything. I just thought it was funny, all right? All right, facelifts for envy. Here we go. First thing is this, all right? If we want a facelift, we need to wash our face. We need to wash our face. The first thing you need to do is to wash your face. If you don't want to have a green face, you don't have an evil eye, wash it. Confess it. Let God know. Go before God and say, God, this is the problem I'm struggling with. Here's what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we go to AA, we go to any recovery program anywhere, you're going to walk in and the very first thing you're going to do is go, hi, my name is Jason and I'm a whatever. The first thing you're going to do is confess. You're going to be open and you're going to be honest. You're going to wash your face. You're going to admit that you have a problem. I love how Andy Stanley put this in one of his books. Here's what he said. Once you have isolated the envy problem, the rest is simple. Not easy, but simple. You take your old car, your small house, your hand-me-down dining room table, your 40-inch waist, your SD television, your kinky hair, your dead-end job, your poor health, and your less-than-stellar SAT scores to the only one who can do anything about it. And once you get it all gathered up in one big pile of discontentment, you need to pour out your heart to him, all your frustration, all your discontent. Let God know that you know that he could have done better by you. Go ahead and tell him how unhappy you've been with the way he made you and the way he's treated you. He can handle it because you are right.
He could have done all that. After all, he did it for your sister and your brother-in-law. Heck, look at what he's allowed those pagans down the street to own, to drive, to look like. Then summarize it this way. Lord, to sum it up, I think you blew it. I mean, you can have that conversation with him. He's okay with it. He really is. And once it comes out like that, you can realize how ugly your face is and then begin to do something about it. Wash our faces. It's the first thing we can do. Second thing is this. We can smile more. We can smile more. Let me tell you, as a guy who stands up here every week and looks at you, you guys look so much better when you smile. You do. I look better when I smile. I mean, the Grinch looks better when he smiles. Psychologists tell us all, we all look better when we smile. So we need to smile more. And if you want to smile and smile right, here's what the Bible says. It says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But here's the deal. When we become envious, we kind of flip that around, don't we? Because we kind of do this. We weep with those who rejoice, and we rejoice then with those who weep. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look at other people and go, good for you. I'm happy for you. I thank God, I praise God that you got that job, that you got that promotion, that you got that bonus, that you found that house, that you drive that car, that you got married, that you're pregnant, whatever it is. We're supposed to say, good for you. I mean, what should the older brother done in our story? He should have smiled. He should have rejoiced. He should have thrown a party, but he didn't. Why? Because he was envious. We've got to smile more. I mean, if your house is an issue for you, let me just challenge you. Go downtown, work with the homeless. See if they'll trade you. You know, if your body's an issue for you, I mean, go work with a paraplegic. See if they'll trade you. See, here's what I've learned in life. There is always someone who is better than you, but there's also always someone who is worse than you. And parents, maybe you do this. I do this. I always say, well, I want this for my kids. I want my kids to have better than I had, you know? And so I want to live in a better neighborhood. I want to live in a bigger house. I want to have a pool because I didn't have a pool, right? We say these things because we say, I want to do this for my kids. And here's what I've learned working with kids for years. They really don't care. They don't. They don't care. In fact, I heard this story and it just made me crack up because this is the reality of it. There's a woman who, her son, they went to visit her younger sister. Her younger sister and her husband just struck it big time and had this McMansion, 8 bedrooms, huge property, massive pool. And so they were down there swimming around. The little kid was swimming around the pool, having a good time, splashing around. And they had this kind of like a bar in the pool. And he kind of swam up to the bar where his aunt was. And he's talking to the aunt saying, man, this is a great pool. This is a fun pool. I love this pool. This is just like the pool we have at home. It is just like the pool we have at home. All dad has to do is take it out, blow it up, and put water in it. And it's just the same. Kids don't care. And so what do we need to do? We need to smile more. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And thirdly, here's what we also need to do. We need to stay away from what causes a dirty green face. Stay away from what causes a dirty green face. You remember this? You remember being a kid and they tell you that don't eat chocolate because chocolate causes acne. You remember that? Or maybe you remember being a kid and the signs being up and being told that after you eat, you have to wait 1 hour until you can swim because if you don't, you'll get a cramp and die. You remember that? I mean, were those truth? No, they weren't the truth. It was wives' tales. Chocolate does not cause acne, but man, don't tell that to the girls in my high school. They stayed away from chocolate. Why? Because they didn't want a dirty face. So maybe there's some neighborhoods that you ought to stay away from. Maybe there's someone in your life that causes you to be envious and you need to kind of put some distance there. Listen to what Peter says. Peter says, lay aside all envies. Envies. It's not singular, it's plural. Lay aside all envies. And so basically what he's saying here is that means you can be envious of someone's house, their job, their wallets, their relationships. You can be envious of multiple things. You can be. And so how do we lay them aside? Well, the best thing that you and I can do is just stay away from the things that cause us to envy. I mean, guys, maybe you can relate to me. It's why I don't go to Best Buy. I stay away from, it's like electronic crack for me, all right? I'm like, oh, I cannot walk in there. Because I walk in there, and I look to my right, I see the surround sound room, right? And you go there, and you sit in that chair, and you're like, oh, I need one of these in my house, right? And then you hear the surround sound, boom. You're like, oh, I need my whole house to shake like this. And then you see these giant 10,000-inch TVs go, I need one of those. And you see the latest cell phones, the latest Xbox, the latest iPad. You go, I got to have it. I can hardly walk out of that store without buying something, right? Stay away from these places. I mean, it's the reason I don't read Envy People magazine. I mean, it's the reason now I don't go to a lot of classic car shows anymore. I love old cars. I love classic cars. I mean, I love muscle cars. I mean, my favorite car is a 67 GTO or a 69 Camaro Rally Sport Super Sport. You know? And so I can't go to these classic car shows because it's like green heaven for me, right? I'm like, I need that. I'm taking pictures, posting. I got to have that. And here's what I learned about envy. Here's how you deal with it. You remember the game Whack-A-Mole? You remember that? It's like, mole pop, smack. You hit it down, you know. Pop, smack. That's how you had to deal with envy. If it pops up, smack it down. When Peter said, lay your envies aside, it translates to Greek. Whack-A-Mole. That's what it says, all right? So it pops up, smack it down. And here's the thing about envy that just blows my mind. The people that you and I want to be like, they always want to be like someone else too. They always want to be like somebody else. I mean, do you remember this guy back from the 80s and 90s? I mean, he was like king of the universe. I mean, everywhere you turned, everything you looked at, this guy was there. His heirness, Michael Jordan. I mean, this guy was everything, six-time world champion. I mean, this guy had his own clothing line, his own shoe line. Every year, everyone had to go out and buy the new Jordans, right? I mean, every time you turn on the TV, I mean, every other commercial was Michael Jordan. I mean, the guy had his own movie, Space Jam. I mean, he had songs about him, all kinds of things about him. Do you remember the slogan that we used to use back during his days? I want to be like Mike. Everyone wanted to be like Mike, except Mike. He went and played baseball, right? I mean, so see, the people that we want to be like, they usually want to be like somebody else too. And so remember this, wash your face, you know, make sure that you stay away from things that make you envious, green with envious, smile a little bit more, and lastly, focus your face on God, turn your face towards God, get a suntan, S-O-N, tan, that's what I'm talking about. Turn your face toward Jesus. When he does, he'll shine down upon you and he'll take that ugly green face and he'll turn it into what it's supposed to look like. And yeah, maybe you don't have as much as your next door neighbor or the guy that works with you in the office. But that's because you made certain decisions in your life. Maybe you made a decision not to take the promotion because it was going to mean that you had to travel more, but you wanted to be home with the family. Or maybe you decided to kind of buckle down a little bit because you guys want to get out of debt or maybe go on a family mission trip or to sponsor a child. You made certain decisions. See, here's the deal with envy. The things that we envy almost every single time have absolutely zero eternal value. Zero eternal value. And so here's a gauge that maybe we should all be asking. The next time you're envious, next time you want something, the next time you're about ready to use transitional praise, then this is the question that we all should be asking. Does this thing have any eternal value? Does this thing have any eternal value? 100 years from now, is it going to matter what I look like, where I worked, what I drive, or where I lived? No, not at all. And so maybe before we go trying to keep up with the Joneses, we ought to determine where the Joneses are going. And you see, if the Joneses are going in the right direction, they're following God, then good, follow the Joneses, but they're not. We're supposed to be following God, Christ followers. That's what we're supposed to be about. I mean, listen to what Jesus said here. Jesus said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, Jesus goes on to talk about the sparrows and say, the sparrows don't worry. I mean, have you ever seen a sparrow sitting in a tree looking at another sparrow's nest going, I wish I had their nest, you know, that's a nice nest. No, Jesus said, they don't worry about that stuff. Why? Because they know that God will provide. God's got them, and they're content. So let's do some work. Let's go ahead and grab our white cards. They're in the pews in front of you. We've been doing this every single week as we've gone through the series. Grab those cards out. Let's do a little work in our lives right now. What is it for you? I mean, what are you struggling with in your life? Maybe it is someone else's marriage. Maybe it's someone else's kids. Maybe it's someone else's car or someone else's house. Maybe it's someone else's relationship with God. I mean, what are you struggling with? What is causing division between you and God in your relationship because of envy? And the truth of the matter is, we got to get rid of this stuff. We got to get rid of it out of our lives so that we can be who God created us to be. And so my encouragement to you next couple minutes as we're going through the service is just take some time to write down what it is in your life. You know, maybe it's, you know, it's going to another college for the high school kids. And you look at some of your friends getting into some of the different colleges. You go, man, I wish I got into that college. Or maybe for you guys, maybe it is something as simple as somebody's hair or somebody's looks. Or maybe it's somebody's promotion. I mean, what is it for you? What's causing division in your relationship with God because of envy? Simply write that down and don't show it to your neighbor, okay? Don't do that. I just wanted to ask you to fold it up or crumble it up in here in just a couple minutes when we're done. Just on your way out the doors, we're going to continue filling these trash cans up, and we're going to get rid of this stuff. Servers, I'm going to ask you guys to dismiss yourselves as we get ready and move into a time of communion. And as they're doing that and getting ready, I just want to remind you of a couple things that we've been talking about through this series as we kind of tie a bow on this entire series. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And he wasn't talking about after you die. He was talking about right here, right now. I mean, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. Over and over and over and over again, he said that. Why? Because it's about now. It's about the power of God being available to you to defeat these seven deadlies in your life right now. And we've heard from Paul week in and week out, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And you can do this through the power of God, through the grace of God. And so many people never tap in to the power of God. And I believe there are going to be a lot of people sitting in heaven one day. They're going to be sitting in heaven going, man, I wish I would have tapped into the power of God. Boy, if I would have tapped into the power of God, then my life wouldn't have been hell on earth. It doesn't have to be. And so there are two ways we can go about trying to get this in our life. First way is you can try to do it yourself, or second way is you can trust God. You can trust God. Now, the first way a lot of us try, I like to call that the New Year's resolution way, the behavior modification way. And we all know what this is like. We all make decisions first part of the year. I'm not going to eat this, do this, drink this, whatever it may be. And so we set out, we put some different behaviors in our life to try to curb our actions. But how long does that last? A week? 10 days? Maybe a month? And then we're right back into the same thing again. Why? Because it never gets to the root issue, the core of the issue, the heart of the issue. You see, it's not about envy. It's that you don't trust God. It's not about pride. It's that you don't trust God. And so we don't need behavior modification in our life. What we need is a heart transformation. That's what we need, is a heart transformation. You see, a heart transformation changes who you are before it changes what you do. It changes who you are. It's why Jesus said, you have heard it said, do not murder, but I say, it's all about the heart. It's about what's on the inside. And so how do we do this? Well, listen to what Paul says. Paul says these words, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law, but the fruit of the Spirit. And hear this, church, hear this. There are seven deadly sins, but there are eight fruits of the Spirit. And I just want you to hear this list, and I want you to think, wow, what would it be like if this is what described my life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. And the only way we are ever going to fix the seven deadlies in our life is to live by the Spirit in our life. And so how do we do this? Here's what the Bible says. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. Those came from God, not from you, not from behavior modification. And if you want the spirit of power and love and self-discipline, then that comes from living within the Spirit. And the Spirit is more than able to transform your life, to help you right here and right now live heaven on earth. And that's God's desire. That's my desire. That's our hope in this entire series, is that that's how we'll live. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, do you not know? Have you not heard? When they say things twice, you better pay attention. Here's what he says. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. See, church, the reason we've been in this series for 7 weeks, because I believe you can fly like an eagle. I believe you can fly like an eagle, and I believe that we can all live heaven on earth now. And I believe it is God's desire for you and me, for all of us, to live in the power of the Spirit and defeat these seven deadlies in our lives. But here's the truth I also know, because I've talked to a lot of you week after week during the series. And I know a lot of you feel like some of these things got you all chained up. You know, I don't know what it is for you, if it was pride or if it was envy or lust. You know, I don't know what it is for you, but I know a lot of you have come to me and said, Jason, I don't feel like I can defeat this. I don't feel like I can beat this. I don't feel like I can overcome this. I mean, every single day I try, but I just can't do it. You're right. You can't do it. But Jesus Christ can. Jesus can break every single chain in your life. He can set you free where you will be truly free for the rest of your life. And you can defeat these seven deadly sins. So let's get on our feet and let's praise God and thank Him that He is the chain breaker.